Imagine with me a typical scene. You're out to dinner with some friends. You've had a great time, good conversation. Everything's sort of wrapping up, and it's evident that it's time to leave. So you motion for the server to come over, and you ask for the check. And she sort of smiles at you and looks over at your friends and says, "It's already been taken care of." For a moment, it takes a while for it to compute, and you look across the table, and your friends are smiling, and they say, "Tonight, it's on us. It's our treat." What happens next is socially expected, and that's the banter that then goes between the people, right? So, no, you can't buy for my meal, and you reach for your wallet or your purse, and you say, "Let me at least give you something for it," and then they protest, and this goes back and forth, right, until that moment, to that moment where you know that it's time to stop protesting and to thank them for their gratitude, and maybe even say, "Next time, it's on me." Because you know that if you press it any further than that, that you're going to seem ungrateful, it's going to be disrespectful to your friends, and more than likely, their feelings are going to be hurt because this is something that they wanted to do. So you thank them for their gratitude, and all is well. Now, if you will, imagine that same scene, but you don't stop your argument. "I will pay for my meal. I'm going to pay for it." You call the server back over. You take out cash from your wallet, and you say, "Here, I want to pay for my meal." And the server says, but your meal has already been paid for." At this point, other patrons in the restaurant are looking as you're insisting that you're going to pay for a meal that already has been paid for. Finally, you relent. You leave the restaurant. You no sooner get to 2 feet within your car. You do a 180. You come back into the restaurant. You find the server. And once again, you try and give her money, cash, for something that's already been paid for. There's two things. One, it's pretty foolish. Two, it's very dishonoring and hurtful to your friends who wanted to give you this gift of a meal. And that's why none of us would ever dream of doing that. But why is it that we who believe that through the blood of Jesus Christ, all of our sins have been forgiven, that through his death and resurrection, that we have been washed clean, and yet we insist on doing our own part? We insist on saying, "But yeah, I've got to try a little bit harder." We insist on saying, "Yeah, but I got to make up for that one thing that I did, right? I got to balance the scales somehow." My friends, you have been set free from sin. You've been set, the chains have been loosed. You've been set free from sin so that now you can live your new life in Christ. Sometimes I think that we get stuck between Good Friday and Easter. On Good Friday, we know that Jesus paid the debt of all of our sins. But we get stuck between that and Easter because we never live in the power of the resurrection. We never live in the freedom that has been won for us by Jesus on the cross. We remain shackled, slaves to our sin. This is what St. Paul was getting at to the church at Rome, and I believe it's the point that God wants us to get after today, this morning. Now, in order for us to really get after this and understand it, I got to introduce a couple churchy theological words. Sorry, I tried to come up with different words. I just can't do it, right? Perhaps you'll remember them. Justification, sanctification, right? Two very theological words, but of the utmost importance. We separate justification and sanctification theologically because it's very important. Hopefully, I'll demonstrate that. But in reality, once a person is justified, they enter right into a sanctified life. All right, so let's back up. Justification. Justification means when you have been made or declared to be righteous. When you've been made right with another person, when you have been declared righteous. Oh, I slipped in another theological jargon, didn't I? Guess we'll have to circle back. So what does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous means to be right in the sight of God. It means to be sinless, to be perfect, to be holy, right? Now, this is important because God is righteous, God is holy, and God is perfect, and he will only be in the presence of something else that is perfect. God hates sin. He's the opposite of sin, and he will not be in the presence of anything sinful. You might have picked up that's bad news for us, because we don't stand a chance. All of us are sinful. All of us fall short. None of us are righteous, which means we can't stand before God, nor can we spend an eternity with him. That's why God stepped in. That's why God sent his son Jesus. So Jesus lived among us, and he was righteous. He never sinned, right? But he went to the cross, and he died in your place, and he died in my place, so that the punishment that we deserve was put on him. And when he breathed his last, he said, "It's finished. Debt has been paid." And when he came back to life on the third day, he declared a victory over sin, death, and the devil. And then he declared, for all who believe in him, he declares them to be righteous. So he declares you to be righteous. You're not righteous. I'm not righteous. But we have been declared righteous. That's God's gift to us. That's justification. God has justified. God has made us right in his eyes. St. Paul gets after it this way, Romans chapter 4. He's talking about Jesus. He was handed over to die because of our sins. Not his sins, because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God, so that we were justified to be right with God. So here's the important thing. Justification is what God does for you. It's a one-time act. We have nothing to do with it. We can't take part in it. We don't deserve it. This is God's grace that he hands down to us, his gift to you. He paid the tab. No need to go back into the restaurant and try and pay for it. It's already taken care of. Justification is what God does for you. Sanctification is when we enter the picture, because sanctification is when God works in, through, and with us to live the new life he's given to us. So justification, if you will, we're spectators. All we can do is watch and receive the gift that God has for us. Sanctification, we get in the game. Sanctification says now we're empowered to live the life that God has won for us, and we can live for him and live how we're originally created and designed to live. So St. Paul gets after it this way, chapter 6, verse 11. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So we're dead to sin, but we're alive in Christ. We've been justified, made right with God, and now we live the sanctified life, and now we get to live in the power of God. We get to live in the power of the resurrection. So if all of that is true, and it is, St. Paul and God says to us, stop living as a slave to sin. You've been released. The chains have been unshackled. So stop living as a slave to sin. What does that mean? Stop beating yourself up over the past. If you've been set free, stop beating yourself up over the past. Why is it that we have such a hard time with this? Why is it that I have such a hard time with this? It is easier to forgive someone else than it is to forgive ourselves. Is it not? It's easier, sometimes difficult, it's easier to forgive someone else than to forgive ourselves. Who hasn't repeated a conversation in their head at least 1,000 times, and each time you get a pit in your stomach and you cringe over the words that you spoke, the pain that you inflicted on another being? Who doesn't have guilt and remorse over past decisions and poor choices, and they haunt us? That kind of guilt can be debilitating to us. In fact, what it means is we're still a slave to sin, and the devil is happy about it. He wants nothing more to keep us enslaved by sin. It isn't that we don't believe that Jesus forgives us. It's just that we can't forgive ourselves. See, one of the names that's used for the devil in Scripture is the accuser, because that's what he likes to do. He likes to whisper in your ear and remind you of all the wrong things you've done, all the bad choices, all the poor decisions, all the hurtful words. And it's not that you doubt that Jesus forgives, but you wonder if he could forgive you. And you wonder if you've crossed the line and done too much. You're still a slave to sin. You have been set free. You have been set free from the shackles of sin. This is what Jesus has done. This is justification. This is what God has done for you. So stop living as a slave to sin and stop fighting a war that's been won. It isn't that we don't have battles in this life until we reach heaven. But why is it that we act as if we lost the war or that we're still fighting the war? The final battle has been won. It was won on Calvary as Jesus declared his victory when he breathed his last. But yet we still seem to think that the war is going on and it still is in the balance of things. See, what I don't want us to be is like this Japanese soldier. Perhaps you heard of him. He was kind of famous. His name, anyone here speak Japanese? Good. His name was Hiro Onodo. I have no idea if that's how you pronounce his name, but evidently neither do you. Anyways, he was a young soldier in World War II, and in 1944, he was put on a remote island, there stationed to defend the island, which he did for almost 30 years. He stayed there, even though the war was over. They dropped pamphlets on the island saying the war was over, but he refused to believe it. They dropped pamphlets with pictures of his family saying, come home, the war is over. But he was deeply embedded in the jungle, and he didn't believe it. For almost 30 years, he lived in deplorable conditions in the jungles on this island, fighting a war that didn't exist. The war's been won. The final battle was won for you. This is what happened on Calvary. Jesus, the righteous one, goes to the cross. He hangs halfway between heaven and hell. And all of mankind's disobedience, all of mankind's unrighteousness is unjustly laid on him so that God's justice could be met. And when he breathed his last and said, it is finished, payment was made. We were released from sin. 3 days later, he declared a victory over sin, death, and the devil himself. The war was won, and we're on the winning side. Sometimes it seems to me that we act like we're on the losing side. We say things like, well, I'm only human. Well, I couldn't help myself. We're on the winning side. Listen to what St. Paul says as we continue on in Romans. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Stop trying to win a war that's already been won. The final battle has taken place. This is justification. This is God's gift to you. There is no question whether you've done enough. There is no question whether you've crossed the line, because it's not about you. It's about what God has done for you. Stop trying to pay the tab that's already been paid in full. Stop living as slaves to sin and start living. Start living your new life in Christ. Start living the new life that he's given to you. What does it mean to start living the new life in Christ? Well, St. Paul goes on, he says this. He says, stop giving in to sin. It doesn't have power over you anymore. So stop giving in to it. Listen to what he says. We go back to Romans 6, verse 12. He says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. What's interesting about this verse, they're imperatives. The verbs are imperative. What that means is it's not a request. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. God says, I've set you free from sin, and sin no longer has power over you. Therefore, don't let it control you. He says, don't give in to the sinful desires. Now, you might say, well, that's a pretty bold statement to tell me that. It's a struggle each day. But the fact of the matter is, you're not doing it alone. Now we've reached over into sanctification. God has declared you righteous. Now God is going to work in you. God is going to work through you, right? This is the good stuff. This is the exciting part where we get to jump into the game. And God is saying here, you've been set free from sin. So it's time to stop giving in to sin. Maybe once it had power over you, but it doesn't have power over you anymore. He says, instead, live in the power of the resurrection. Live in the victory that Jesus has declared, a victory that Jesus has shared with you. We live in the power of the resurrection. Listen to what St. Paul goes on to say. So now we go down to verse 14. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. No longer is the law beating you up, pointing out all of your sin, because that's been taken care of. Now you live in the freedom of grace, the grace that says now I'm free to live for God. Even more powerfully, see what he says to young Timothy. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God hasn't given us a spirit that's timid. Power, love, self-control. This is sanctification. This is God empowering you to live for Him, to live according to the way that God created you to live. It's time for us to stop being timid, to stop acting like we're on the losing side. We're on the winning side. God has declared that victory. So let's live boldly for Him. Are you struggling with some self-destructive habit? Then in the power of God, get some help and kick it. Are you struggling with an addiction that's tearing you and your family apart? Then by the power of God, get the help and kick it. Are you struggling with anger issues and a short temper? Then by the power of God, get some help and kick it. Are you struggling with some particular sin? Then by the power of God, get the help and kick it. And I'm not trying to oversimplify this, and I'm not saying that it's easy and you snap your fingers and you're out of it. What I'm trying to assure you is that you have the power of God living in you. So tap into the power of God and live for Him. Stop living as if you're a slave to sin. Instead, live the new life that He's given to you, the life that God created you to live, the way in which God created you to live. That's living in the power of the resurrection. That's living in response to the gift that He's given to you, the gift, the justification of God through Jesus Christ declaring you righteous, freeing you from the shackles of sin. And now the sanctification, to live in the power of the resurrection. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we thank you for a grace that we did not deserve, a mercy that we certainly did not merit. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for His sacrifice. We thank you for unshackling us from sin, declaring us righteous, knowing that we can be in your presence now and for an eternity. Now, by the power of your Spirit dwelling within us, help us fight the good fight and let us live in the power of Jesus' resurrection. In His name, amen. You may be seated. Here's another way in which we respond to God. We see the gift that He has given to us, a gift that you can't put a price tag on, and we want to respond. We respond with prayer and praise, and in a tangible way, we respond by giving a portion of what He's given us back to Him. We respond with our offering.